the Meet for Mission, you will see that it's not a new thing. But the more you are hearing it, the more it's digesting.
Yes.
And those of you that are yet to hear about it, when you hear about it, it's going to be established in your lives. And your lives will not remain the same.
Amen.
So once again, I want to say thank you for coming. If you have not come here, or if the man of God has not done this great work, I will first of all go to Bristol Town Center, print my leaflets, and encourage people to come tonight. But you have done the work. I'm just here to build on the work. And I also want to tell us, those of us that are members of Christ Faith Tabernacle Bristol, we are only here to come and support the work and to also prove or confirm the word of God that as iron sharpened iron, so we ought to sharpen one another. And to come and say to us that what Pastor Benson and Deaconess Benson are teaching you here is true. As many that we hold on to that, reading the Bible, will mature so quickly. And when Jesus will come, will not be found wanting.
Amen.
So more grace to our elbows in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We are looking at the topic, motherhood, fatherhood, parenthood, widowhood, grandmotherhood, all hood. Because you can't just be coming to church and it's like every Sunday is the same, the man of God preached to you. But we need to deal with those real things because the church is a family. Those things that make up family. When the family is not gathered, then there is a problem. And that's the reason we are bringing all this into shape. We first of all look at motherhood. When we talk about motherhood, it's a vast topic that we discuss. That is motherhood in the aspect of people that have prepared themselves to be married, and then you are raising children. Motherhood to those that are single, maybe one way or the other. You are find yourself in this mistake, which is very big mistake, but God does not condemn you either. We have same people in the Bible, and that does not make you to give up everything. You need to learn how not to be stressful, but in that situation, do something great. I've seen single mothers bring up their children in a fantastic way, even more than their parents, which I will refer to parenthood. So everybody will be blessed in this. Like I said, motherhood is a very vast topic. So I'm going to put these two together, motherhood and parenthood. That even if I start to teach today, will not finish. What is motherhood? That'll be a pen you can write. Motherhood is a task given to women as they rear their children. And this word is effort. Motherhood and parenthood is a task that must be done. When you bring up children to the world, you cannot just sit and be looking at them. It's not only the pampers that you give to them when they are young. It's not the suits, it's not the Legos, it's not the funfair. By the time these children start growing, you will see that it's more than this. A lot of us think, it's not just getting that man. If God can do it for some people, I want to be married too. It's not just getting married. Sometimes, Paul advised, it's better not to be married than to even get into that place. Those of us that are married, as Paul has said, there are many problems. We face many problems. So if you are not ready for all these problems, or you are not taught, sometimes it goes across in a very funny way. That's the time that a woman can go, I don't want you anymore in my life. It happens. But why are you in church? So that we can teach you that when you are almost getting to that stage, there are things that you can do. And the Lord will help us.
Amen.
A mother is one who bears or conceive and rear children. Same with the father. The Bible says mothers should teach. And how do we teach? We must teach by example. And it says fathers should instruct. When you bring children to the world, as I said, is a task that must be done. We must teach by example. Even right from the time that they are swimming in your womb, you start to teach them to pray. A lot of people don't know. That's not the time to be thinking of the best clothes you are going to use to show off. Or like today, that's not the time that you are thinking to expose your belly to the whole world. That's what happened now. These days, but Christians are not supposed to treat themselves when they conceive in that way. You have not to show your belly at all. That's not the time to wear tight clothing. I'm still talking about motherhood. Because these days you see them wear t-shirts and the whole belly button will be showing. That is not motherhood at all. That's the time to comport yourself. That's the time to look good. I deliberately wore what I'm wearing today, the A-line clothes. In those days, Debenhams and all these places, they sell maternity clothes. They are not funny clothes at all. A-line comfortable clothes. Nice trouser with elastic, and it's elasticated, and they put room there. Nice jeans, because you can still look good. Nice A-line tops that they just put there so that you can feel comfortable. Because sometimes, many choke their children because they are following fashion. By that, we have had some people, you lost the baby. You don't want to be a mother like that, that you come and regret. So motherhood starts from yourself. Like I said, it starts from the womb. And these are familiar scriptures that we are all familiar with. Conception in this topic, motherhood. That takes us to the book of Psalm, which we all know. If you have your Bible, you open with me, or anyone on the acetate, you open with me to the book of Psalm. 139 is a familiar psalm. If you are used to be following the Bible studies and you are reading the Bible studies. From that, verse 13, said for you, Psalm 139, verse 13, say for you created my inmost being. From the beginning of life, from conception as a mother, God sees everything. And God is confirming in this psalm that this psalmist is confirming God's intention. He said, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We want to know that God is involved from the time that you start to feel that you have conceived something there. In this case, a baby now. You begin to praise God for your baby to come. This part of motherhood. From the day you discover that I'm carrying something. Yeah, it's not easy, I have to tell you the truth. And those of you that have carried children, you know that it's not easy. I'm not using it to scare you. That's not the time that you are thinking of fashion or exposing your belly to the public or wearing tight clothing. The baby too needs life, needs to be comfortable. Sometimes when you sit down in a choke chair that you are getting choked, you don't feel comfortable. The same way when you carry your baby in your womb and then you are choking the baby by wearing tight clothes. In those days, there are maternity schedules, because you still want to look, I know they have it today, because you want to look posh, or want to look like size 14. You don't want to go to 16. Or you want to look size 8, you don't want to go to size 10, but you will still get out of that size. Then you can come back after you have given birth to the baby. It's a time to sacrifice. But God sees your baby right from that, because God is looking at the baby. You want to commit this baby to God's hand from the womb. So motherhood is not only when you notice and then you're only thinking of the things of the outside, you're also thinking about this baby that's inside, and you are telling God, God knows what the baby is going to become in the end. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 to 10, if you read it. God has an appointment for that baby, right from that is in your womb. What the baby is going to become, if we are prayerful enough, God will reveal to us. But if you are not prayerful, there is no way God can reveal to you. He said, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We must praise God, knowing fully well that this baby that is coming forth is wonderful. This baby that you have conceived is going to come with the two hands. This baby that you have conceived is going to come with two eyes. This baby that you have conceived is wonderfully and beautifully made, not going to come like an ugly baby. This baby that you have conceived is not going to be aborted. So you are praying God for this baby, thanking God. He said, wonderfully and beautifully made, your works are wonderful. Thanking God because you know you have put in me your own image that is wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed bodies when the baby was still ordinary fluid in the womb. God sees. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. God knows how long everyone is going to last. God knows how long that baby is going to live. May we not have a stillbirth baby. God knows it's going to be a stillbirth baby. And he said, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I wake, I'm still with you. Amen.
Amen.
So that psalm tells it all, that this is what God has in store for us. I wrote here, we advise that you do not attempt to adopt or bring a child to the world when you are not ready to look after the child. A lot of people with all this own work that God has done. God is so precious, giving us a baby. But when we bring the child to the world, we are not ready to keep them because of the way that we got the child. Make reference to the prostitute. Because of time, we'll not look at the scripture in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. The two prostitutes that just, they were not expecting, were just sleeping around, and they got pregnant. They got their children. After getting these children, what happened to them? One of them slept. Careless mother. Talking about motherhood. Because God just gave that child. You see, God is wonderful. Prostitute. He doesn't want a child, just want to sleep, just want to mess around. That's all you want to do. Such people are not here tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And they got a child. When they got a child, one of them doesn't know anything, doesn't have all this learning, he doesn't have all this thing that you have been taught, just slept on the baby. Careless mother. And the baby died. But you know that because you carried a child in your womb, there is still feeling for that child. When the child died, one of them quickly exchanged the child, gave the dead child to the other prostitute. In that book of 1 Kings chapter 3, when you get home, you read it. Solomon has to judge in this matter. When the matter got to Solomon now decided and said, look, the baby that is alive, you are going to cut it into two. But do you know that if you carry a child, the child is so precious to you. Mothers will be able to understand what I'm talking about here. When Solomon had said, look, this is the, you know, Solomon had asked for the wisdom of God. God has given him wisdom already to lead the people. And that is how Solomon will judge the matter. He said, give me a sword there. This baby that is alive, I'm going to cut this baby into two halves. I give you one half, give you two. The one that actually conceived that baby, the ones that have sleepless night for that baby. You know, when you carry pregnancy, the first 3 months is not easy for some people. And so for some people, they don't even feel they carry anything. Like people like me, I don't even feel I carry something. You understand? And but when you get to that seven, from the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to the time that you're going to give birth to the baby, restlessness. That's why children, you must respect your parents. That's why anything they tell you, you must do. Restlessness. You carry one pillow on this side, then put the other pillow here. That's the time that you have to go to the toilet every second, every minute. If you are not very careful, you wet all your carpets. That's why if you get to some people's home, no carpet, so that they can wipe. Those of you that have this experience, you know what I'm talking about. The baby now wants to come out, so he'll be pressing, pressing, pressing. And then the pressing, the bladder pressing everything. Then you rush to the toilet. By the time you get to the room, you are coming into the bedroom, you are going to the toilet again. Mothers pay a lot of sacrifice like this. When you experience such a thing, you can't joke with that child after you have given birth to that child. These are experiences of motherhood, which make people to be more serious when you handle your baby. Then we are not talking about childbirth. You have to do the breathing exercise. I carried my first pregnancy. I don't even know how to push. The nurse was just laughing at me. He said, "Push, you are fed up of people like you that don't know. You know, when you don't study well, when you get to the exam room, you just carry your pen. Every other person is writing, but you have giraffe neck. Let me see, because you have the same paper." Then you are giraffing left, right, and center because you have not done your homework. At a time, you put the pen. But those people that have done the homework, when they put their head down until they finish, they are not coming up because they have done the homework. So any mother, we are talking about motherhood, that have done the homework, you know you are not just pregnant. You want to know how, because this baby get there, you don't know. Even when it was planted, you don't know. Experience or some body, change in body system or something is the one that made you to understand. You miss your period or something like that. That's the only price you have to pay. Then you are carrying this baby. If God gives you this baby like this, are you not going to pray? Let me know how to push this baby. But we trust God now. We thank God. But God has put people in place. So in my own case, I don't even know how to push. So when they asked me to push, the woman said, "I'm not helping myself." So when I was to have the second child, I now went to learn how to push. So today I teach people how to push. If you know how to push, you don't stay too long in the labor ward. So someone will ask me, "How do you push?" Because the baby is coming out from this round thing, and it's coming from a very small thing. But your pushing will make that small thing to become 10 centimeters. How much do they call that thing? I've forgotten now. So when you push, how do I push? You take a deep breath. When the baby starts to move, that's why we said husband and wife should go to labor. Because you brought the baby together. So when the woman is carried away with this labor pain, and it is very painful, but God make it easy for as many people that commit their pregnancy to his hands. So when the baby is trying to come out, sometimes the baby puts hand like that, the hand of the, you see the toe stomach, this stomach that you see, the hand will be like this. Sometimes the bum is what you see. Sometimes if you take time to look very well, you will see all these shapes. So we tell them, the woman is carried away pushing, so the man should be watching. So when you see this restlessness, the baby wants to come and is pushing every part of, if the head is down, there is no worries. Then you take a deep breath to be able to help the baby to come out. When you see these ugly signs and everything, you then take a deep breath. I'm breathing as I'm talking to you right now. Not because I see some pregnant women, I say, "Push, let me see." See, when the time comes, there is no way you can do this. It's not easy. It's not that kind of push. You can just, No? You'll be breathing like I'm breathing. I'm taking a deep breath like this. And that will help the baby to hold forth. You know, the baby is going zigzag and looking for a way to come out. But the moment you take that deep breath, then the baby too settles. And when the baby settles, then when the baby is calm, then you go, you blow. As you blow, the baby will now find the ease with the water, everything, to push a little bit forward. When you start to look for a way again, because it's looking for a way, and when the baby is going through the pelvis, that's when the pain is serious. You don't even know whether you are pushing or you are not pushing. But if God helps our forefathers or our great mothers and helps some of us that have passed through that tunnel, it will help as many people that are coming forth in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So that's what I can just say about so you can't go through this line and then come and just leave the baby carelessly. I look at people when they are giving birth, they be like that prostitute, sleep on their baby, your baby sleep on the same bed, or you leave your baby carelessly, the baby is even crying, you are thinking of your stress, you brought the baby to the world, so you must prepare to look after the baby. There is no stress, you must look after that baby. It is compulsory as a mother. And this goes through stage by stage. After you have gone through babyhood, let me put it there for you. You win the baby and all the rest of that. The baby now get another stage. You continue from that. And that takes us to Deuteronomy now. Because the baby is now in the world. The baby is now mixing with a lot of people. Like Hannah did. First of all, you bring the baby for dedication. A lot of people don't know that you have to commit your baby to God. For the man of God to lay hands on the baby. And when the man of God lay hands on the baby, you commit the baby to the rest of her. He is on her life. And from there, you don't stop praying. People think, oh, my mother-in-law will come and look after the baby. My father-in-law will come and look after the baby. You have nice people surround you. Me, I can't be bothered. They're there. They just cook for me. I eat. I only to feed the baby. That's all I know. You must have an attachment. That's motherhood. I have to teach motherhood for pastor's wife that I teach sometimes. You have to look after the members as well. Fatherhood for pastors. You have to look after the members. Like example of your home. It's what you have to bring to the church. That's why I said that. Anyone that cannot control, Paul was advising. It's anyone that cannot that don't have control over their home, they cannot run a church. You see a lot of people running churches today. They don't have control over their own home, not to come and talk of church. Church is another wide, wide place to raise children. Different kinds of children. And you must continue to pray that prayer for the grace of God to lead these children. Because you have different. If God did not help you, there is no way you can help them. You have to beg them all the time. You have to encourage them all the time. Teach them the Bible. Sometimes they like to do it. Sometimes they don't want to do it. What's your problem, Pastor? What's your problem? What is the pastor's problem? Is the mother's problem? Some children say, what, mom, what's your problem? I'm okay. Especially when they get to that teenage, it's very difficult. They feel that they own themselves. They've forgotten that this is the womb that carries them. But because it is through this belly thing that they come out, you can instruct them and they will listen. Sometimes it seems they are not listening, but they listen. If you continue to mentor or monitor it, it will be like the prodigal son. He came back to his senses. The book of Luke 15 said, when the prodigal son came back to his senses, he decided with everything that he has known, he said, I will arise and go back to my father. I will say to my father. The same thing with a lot of Christians. The way you just go astray. And then when such Christians come back to their senses, now remembering, that's why motherhood, you must teach them. I said from the womb, that is the prayer. When they get here, it's not only the nappy, it's not only the toy, it's not only the suits, it's not only the Legos, it's not only the games. that you buy for them. It's not the television, but the Word of God. And that is what we are going into now. That takes me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said, these are the commands, the decrees. 6 verse 1 from verse 1. Yes. He said, these are the commands, the decrees, and the laws that the Lord your God directs me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. These are the things we start to teach them as they come into the world, so that you, your children, and their children, another generation after them, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. It's not only you, your children, your children's children. Thank God. The Bible said, when you read, I'm going to teach a message on the generation of God's seeker. God has given me that message for too long. I've been developing it. Generation of God's seeker. You know, here he said, if you belong to that generation that Psalm 24 talks about, because we just read all these Psalms and everything, yeah, generation of those who seek you, who seek your face, O God of Jacob, Selah. Don't you know that, Selah? Hold on and pause about this generation of God seeker. Are you that generation? When you read that Psalm, just read it. It's not Selah like that. You have to ponder on that. Am I part of this generation that we are talking about here? Generation of those who seek God, their generation will continue to seek God. If your great-great-grandfather sought God, it cannot be said concerning you that you are not seeking God. You know, this is the word of God to the children of Israel here. He said, your children, their children after them, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. So when you give birth to children and they are not fearing God, it's not your fault. But it can also be your fault if you did not teach them. A lot of people give birth to children. They are more interested in taking them for football every Sunday. There is nothing bad in it, because if they become millionaire through that, you are also going to be partaker of that grace. There is nothing wrong with it, but find time to bring them to church. Be like Mary. You can see that example between Mary and Jesus. It got to a time where they were going to church, but because this woman has always taken Jesus to church, when the time came for Jesus to manifest, it was that church, because the grace of God, according to the prophecy of Isaiah 61, now manifested in the life of Jesus. And when they were going, Jesus had already gone aside to be teaching the word, and they were looking for Jesus. They didn't know that he is, because they have acted as a mother, parenthood, and a good father, taking Jesus to church. So now Jesus knows how to go to church. Jesus knows how to read the Bible. But he discovered from the Bible that this is what's supposed to happen to me at this age. And he started manifesting it. You understand? If motherhood, fatherhood, parenthood, if we raise our children in a proper way, when they get, I also pray a prayer that it took me time to understand this prayer. When you pray for children that are brought to the church, a lot of you will identify with this. When he gets to that age of reasoning, said, may he choose life.
Amen.
And it has happened in all the children that we have raised in this church. When they get to that age of reasoning, they choose life. But if a mother is careless, if a father is careless, especially some of us, when I was raising my children, they don't go on holidays. You know, some people, they feel, if they come to another man's house to go and disturb people's family, you say your children are going on holidays. Get your money together. Look for a place, like a family phone me now. They're in Blackpool, enjoying their holidays. They don't go to people's house, and then people are hiding crisps. They are hiding biscuits, because the children are notorious. The way you raise your children is different from where another person raised their children. In my house, they don't doesn't go, when I was raising my children, they don't go to the cupboard and be taking food and eat anyhow. No. That's why when I'm out, I ask some people that are among you today, they will come and stay in my home and look after my children for me, because I know that I'm very busy. So they eat their own crisps, they eat their own biscuits, they go to their own fridge, they sit down because I've really taught them and educated them when to watch any program that will be beneficial to them and when not to do that. They are already instructed in godly ways. Somebody has come to me, hey, my children went to a sister's house or something like that, and they are hiding their crisps. Yes, because in that house, they work according to their purse. But when your own son got there, because you have spoiled your son, I'm talking about motherhood, your own son eats anyhow. He can eat a whole bag of 12 crisps at a go, and they don't do that in their home. I said, so if you want a holiday, you should have paid and go. You can go. You don't need to travel. You don't need to pay money for a ticket or anything. You can pay for ordinary train. It's still expensive, but go to somewhere that you know you can spend money. Even if it's 2 nights, put the money together, your children, take them. Tell you when they are small, they can be playing volleyball. They know what it is to go out. So, but some people are not like that. So you took them because you don't want to spend money. Maybe you didn't even give those people money and say, my children are coming to you. Some people say, ah, they are going to sister. They eat food there. No. Even when you take them to people's home, you would have educated them. This is what is called motherhood. They won't go there to disgrace you. Like my children, there are times that if I sit down, have a guest, and we are speaking, there are some children, motherhood I'm talking about, they are not raised. They just come and sit down. Hey, mom, I need to put this program on now. Are you still okay if I put this program? And they are talking, your guests are talking. Because that's the way that you raise that child. And they will disturb you. I say, come on, get out of this room. Don't do that to me. Because I'm entitled to watch television. I say, my child, your child is rude. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. No. If you raise them in the proper way, they won't get to that stage. My children knows when I was raising them, when there is a guest, even if you are together in that living room, they will leave. Excuse me, mom. They will leave. They don't sit down there and be running commentary with you. Because if you are not very careful, in that area, motherhood is not taken care of. You just raise children that are that not under control. They don't have time, they go to their lessons. Some have time to spend their money on various things. You don't have time. In those days, I pay £40 an hour for lesson. But people can pay that money to go to a party or do anything. You don't think, when you bring a child to the world, you must spend money on them. Apart from teaching them about the Bible, like it says here, as long as you live, it has to continue. As long as, for your, even when they are married, you know, that's what the scripture is telling me now. You must monitor them. Not that you go and be distracting them in their homes, but you must still guide them. As long as you live, by keeping all his decree and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Because if you don't train your children, when they start to give you trouble, may the trouble not kill you. That's why you see a lot of people running helter skelter to church now. And help me, this and that. Because you have carelessly left your children. So the reason why we are teaching this is for us to be able to know that you cannot just leave your children carelessly. God has given them to you to look after. He didn't give them to you for someone else to look after. Do you know that if I have to tell my son or my daughter off, there are ways I will do it because I know the pain I went through. Other people will help you too. They can even use this glass to hit the child's head. He's too stubborn. He's old. But if you have to do your own child, there are ways that you will do it so that they'll be able to know that you are correcting them. But other people, they will handle your children the way they cannot handle their own children. That's why motherhood is very, very important. Then he said, command I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. If you don't do all these things, I'm telling you as a mother, they can shorten some people's life. May we not hear that our children are in prison.
Amen.
May we not hear that this is happening, that shooting gun is somebody has just died. May we not hear that the house is burned down because one of the child is in the gang. All these things are happening all over us here. But when we raise our children in the proper way, and you teach them the word, you bring them to church, Bible study, they're there, they get involved in the church. I want to thank God for Pastor Benson and Kenneth Benson's life. They're an example to you all in this church. They've been carrying all these children from beginning. Put them in the church. Lead them to play prayer. It's not, you think it's a small thing? They would have paid money because they want them to continue. So if we see such example, we should follow, because this is the church that you belong. Hear Israel and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. For us to increase greatly is that we are raising great people that are sitting in great position in our nations. The other day, we were interviewing the father of our prime minister, our new prime minister. He was a proud man. Because look at the school that this boy went to. As some people, they say they have the money in their house. No, if they don't manage that money well, they won't be able to support their child in the proper way. This land is flowing with milk and honey. When we raise our children, they become big, big people. Then their money is coming out, and then you're also beneficiary of that money. But if you have to be the one, bring your child to pastor today, another day is you bringing your child tomorrow, then there is a problem. May God grant us the grace to be that mother that God has called us to be.
Amen.
Just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. God has promised good to us. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your strength. This commandment that I give you today are to be on your hearts. When God's words in our heart, guess what happened? The heart cannot be deceitful, like I've been teaching from the book of Jeremiah. When God's heart, the word is not our heart, you cannot just misbehave. When God's word is on our heart, you'll be able to reflect God to your children. You know, as mothers, we must live by example. It's what your children see that they will do. Like I raised a daughter in your present, going to be 36 this year. She also joined to raise younger ones in the church. She young to lead in the church. She prepared herself for great work of ministry, because I, as a mother, am always. Why did she listen to me? Sometimes it's not easy. We do argue when they get to that tinting age, you understand? But I always tell her that you are the Queen of England, because her name is Elizabeth. I said, do you know the Queen of England? He's within the palace. Did you see the Queen of England walking up and down? No, 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 no. So you can't do that. It is not for Queen to do that. And I'm guiding her with the word of God. Today, I thank God that she's there. She got married in the presence of everybody. She's an example in the church. And everything, all the children that are giving back to. Oh, peradventure, you are raising them, but they are not listening. As long as you have tried your best, do you understand? You have a glorious rest.
Amen.
If you have not tried your best for your children, so when they misbehave, then you will say, Lord, help me. Like, no, I don't have anything to regret with any of the children that God has given to me. When there was one that the school was, because I moved home, totally, light, only no black person, I'm the only black, and my children. When it was almost getting to nothing, I have to seek advice. I send him to boarding school. I pay through my nose. Sometimes I don't even eat. That's why you must work to earn money. If you don't work, the Bible says you cannot eat. So the children that we bring to the world, we must fight for them and make sure they have the right education, they have the right thing, so that in your old age, you are not nursing things that you are not supposed to nurse. May God help you.
Amen.
And as my own parents-in-law, because I can talk about them. He bought his grave before he died. Talking about motherhood, parenthood, so that he doesn't give his children problems. So when he died, her spiritual mother, she bought her coffin. She gave the people the type of wood. She put the money down. So when she died, to bury her was not a problem. Thank God for this nation that they show you on the television all the time. These are part of parenthood. Putting things in place so that your children will not be stressed at the end of the day. You know, he said, impress them on your children. Talk about them. When you sit at home, and which I do, and gain from this advice, and when you walk along the road, when I'm in the car, that's the best time to talk to my children. And I'm driving them. Thank God for concentration. Amen.
Amen.
When you lie down, when you get up, tie them a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Today we have people putting all these scriptures and everything. It's not genuine. Those ones are not genuine. It's for fashion. Because if they are genuine, as you tie them on your hand, then we see it on you. You reflect it. But people tie scripture today. It's a pity we have not seen it on their forehead. Though. As the Bible says. But what it means is, let them be in your heart. Read the scripture to them. And I'm so happy today that most of the people in my Bible study, they are younger ones. I gave everybody homework. The senior ones have not even given me my homework. All the small, small girls, come and see them. Mommy, Oma, I finished my write-up. Mommy, Oma, I've done this. When you give them assignment, they are the ones that are on. So if you raise, as I'm trying to help us to raise our children, let us raise them by ourselves. If not, they will get out of hands. It is only the word of God or the fear of God that is in children that can make them to grow as God has ordained them. Remember, God said, we are wonderfully and what? Beautifully made. We are beautiful from inside. He said, put them on their foreheads. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates. Put scriptures there. Like you have all this frame like this. Get a frame, write it. Put scripture there in your children's bedroom. Put scripture there. God is going to inspire more people. Like I have it in my mind. All burdens must carry scriptures. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's the first, some of the memory verses I give to my children. Psalm 4 verse 8. Before they sleep, even when we are late to come, I will lie down and sleep in peace for you alone. So if I have opportunity to do burdens now, I'm going to do such burdens. So when they get to the age of reasoning, they will read such scriptures before they sleep. When mothers are not reading scriptures, how do your children, how can they read scriptures? So you must make sure. You must read it to them. If not, it's better for you not to bring up children at all. Don't even conceive them. Don't look towards that side. At all. You can be married then, you just agree not to have children. Because if you bring them to the world, you say, and you don't raise them, you say it's better for you to the stone to be tied on your neck and then you are drowned. You know, lack of not knowing the Bible make us all to misbehave towards all these things. But I pray that the wisdom that God is releasing to us tonight will make us go places.
Amen.
And will reflect it in the lives of our children.
Amen.
So you can continue in that scripture, then you see it. Spoken about conception. The winning period, which I treated a little bit, we must make sure that during that time of winning, we must also pray with them. And after winning, I've spoken about bringing them to church for dedication. Amen.
Amen.
And the person that did this was Hannah. in that book of 1 Samuel, in chapter 1 from verse 21 to 28. Said, when the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow. You remember when she was trusting God, she said to the priest, if only God can give me this son that I'm asking for, I will give him back to the Lord. So when the time came, she fulfilled her vow. Let's not be crazy as mothers making vows. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Say, don't make a vow when you know that you cannot. If you give me this child, hey, Lord, I will serve you all the days of my life. But by the time they have that child will become an excuse. It's the child you gave me. Eve said, the husband you gave to me. You become an excuse. I can't come to church. That child doesn't make me sleep. Everybody knows that for 3 months, you have sleepless night when you just give birth. So it doesn't make you sleep. Your husband should go. How can my husband come to church? I can't sleep. He has to look after the baby. You know, these days, a lot of funny, funny things happen. But God has given us the grace to be happy. This is how it is. That's why we are telling you, some of you that are not there yet. Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I'm reading verse 22 of that chapter 1, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, Elkanah, her husband told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until when she had weaned him. A lot of people ask this question. When should I come back to church? If you like, well, you can come back in 1 week's time. But we advise people to take rest. Maybe about 2 months or 3 months. Because of the sleepless night, I will say 3 months. So that I can take rest to look after the baby. But your husbands will be coming to church. Can't take their ransom for them to sit down at home with you. No. They come to church. They serve. They do their duties as they ought to do in the church. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with the 3-year bull and all these things. That's the sacrifice you have to give in those days. But these days we put money. Every last Sunday of the month here in the church, we do Thanksgiving. So you put money in the envelope to present before the Lord. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. For the whole life, gave the boy to the Lord. Some of us, when God gives us children, we can't release them anymore. You only release them to the things of the world. You take them with you to watch film. That's the only thing they know. On the television, they glue there. That's the only thing they know. When they now get to the age of reason to follow you to church, to do a lot of things, they don't know about that at all. What is she talking about? Do you mean we should not socialize anymore? That is what the enemy has put in the heart of women now, socializing. May the Lord help us. Amen. I've talked about pregnancy. Can make reference to Luke 1:24. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Because of time, I'll be letting us have this. Luke 1:24 to 25. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. But I pray that there are people trusting God for the womb, fruit of the womb. The Lord will take away your shame.
Amen.
And give you your own child. Amen. Childbirth, Isaiah 66, 7 to 9. Then we talk about breastfeeding and weaning period. We must breastfeed our children. There's a lot to speak about, but I just want to quickly help us to round up here. And I want us to quickly go, because we are looking at the boy Samuel. I want to go to 1 Samuel. This a man that raised godly children. You remember that scripture say, your children's children. This has to continue. But in the case of Samuel that was raised, had children. Look at what Hannah went through with Penina and Penina's children. Because of time, not able to go into that. And with all these things as background, Samuel raised ungodly children. What should we do so that this doesn't become our own turn? Let's look, quickly look at the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 8. When we shy to take care of our responsibility, there's a problem. Parenthood is responsibility of both father and mother. And we are looking at the example of Samuel. In that 1 Samuel chapter 8, he said, when Saul grew, chapter 8 verse 1, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel leaders. It's a generational thing, right? The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. And they served at Bathsheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. Is it on the screen there so that nobody on the acetate? Are we there? Are we reading the same scripture?
Yes, ma'am.
This is a child that was dedicated. Vow on Samuel. Samuel, the one that loves the Lord, doing great things in the Lord. It's a generational thing. Your children's children. But Samuel's children, they were doing bad, bad things because of irresponsibility. Now you have arrived. God has blessed you. You just think, ah, no, they can do what they... You know, these are some of the mistakes that we parents make. Even if Holy Ghost is flowing on your child's head or your children's head, you must continue to teach them. You must not leave them because the devil is there to kill, to steal, and to mess up with our children. He said his sons, I want you to underline it, verse 3, but his sons did not follow the ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. They were not like their parents at all. They did not reflect Samuel at all because of irresponsibility. We must make sure motherhood, parenthood, we cannot just leave them. Even when they get to that age, you know, it's like, until it's good, is a thing of life. When they are married, to check on them occasionally, give them scriptures. If you are not very careful, some will not even listen to you. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. You know, it can become headache for you if your children are not raised properly. Even in his own old age, they were still reporting his children. They said to him, you are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. It can become headache if you did not raise your children. You know, I talk about generation of those who seek him, who seek God's face, O God of Jacob. May we be that generation.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We have learned about the story of Leos and Eunice in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Great mother and grandmother who taught and raised their son Timothy, the fear of the Lord. You can see how Timothy excelled in ministry. had a spiritual father, Paul, who was also able to start from where the grandmother and the mother of Timothy stopped. And that brings us to the role of fatherhood. He was able to instruct Timothy in the way of the Lord, and then it was so unique. So the role of father is to instruct, Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8. And for him to instruct correctly, he must have been taught correctly. While the mother must know how to teach. A lot of mothers come to church, Sunday school, just take the ticket, take one of the tickets, put my son there. No, as you are teaching at home, you also teach them in church. If you are teaching them in church and you are not teaching at home, there is a problem. Your work is more important to you than your children, you have a problem. Tell you when they get to that age, you want them to be going to school by themselves. And no, you must still monitor them. Amen. If not, you see some children after school, they land in shopping malls. I've seen some before like that. Instead of coming home, yes, they can come home, but they land in the shopping malls with other children that are not raised properly. But you are raising your own children in God. Mothers, therefore, has unique influence on their children or daughters, while father also has unique experiences on their sons. Amen.
Amen.
In rounding up now, as I reference mothers' enduring love, as in the book of Isaiah 49:15-18, mothers' enduring love. When he was teaching, he started to show us this example from verse 15. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? It can be if you give birth to that child and have no compassion on the child she has born. It can be. That is the mother's love. Amen. Mothers are always loving. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Can see, mothers are very impactful. They play great roles in the life of children. If God can compare himself to mothers, he said if a mother will forget, he cannot. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Sometimes, because we are not God, an experience I've had, you know, you are very feeding. Baby has fallen several times. I'm telling you from experience. Everybody's confused. But if I forget, God said he will not forget you. So we want to get to that love of God for our children. He says, see, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. God wants us to get to that stage where he neither sleep nor slumber because he neither sleep nor slumber because of us. God will not sleep. By the time we are crying, he's answered. It takes some mother. They have to put this latest thing that they sell in the mother care shop, this sound, for them to hear their baby crying. But with mother, but with God, God doesn't need that. So God wants us to get to that peak of love and not be careless with our children. We must give them love. Amen.
Amen.
See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. That's the love of God. And God wants us to get to this peak. Your sons hasten back, and those who led you waste depart from you. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that those who will lay our children ourselves waste, they will depart from us.
Amen.
This is one big prayer that we pray in this church. There are some friends that come because their life is useless. Their lives have been interrupted. So they also want you to be like that. So they will come into you even when you are telling your children off, trying to make your children to mind them. Oh, everybody do that. Don't be silly. You know? But don't follow them. Not everybody do that. There are some people, good chicken laying good eggs. There are parents that are laying good, that are raising godly great children. Because they carry their children does not mean that every egg is bad. If you can't buy from co-ops today, you go and buy in the farm. Thank God for Bristol. You can't buy from Waitrose, although they sell good eggs. Amen. You go and buy in the farm, direct from the farm. So as godly mother, we must raise godly children. They lift up your eyes and look around. All your sons gather and come to you. May this be our portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When we raise good children, when they even leave, they come back fruitful and more fruitful. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them on as ornaments, and we put them on like a bride. Our children will be there for us.
Amen.
To reflect God's glory.
Amen.
Don't you see this tennis player when he's playing Andy, what is it called? When he played that tennis very well, what happened to the mother? The glasses, they are well placed. When they show the mother like this, say, yes, I try. You understand? When you raise good children, they make you proud. Amen.
Amen.
Examples of caring mothers in the Bible. I'll not be able to look at all this, but I'll just give you this so that I can go home and battle it, and I conclude. We have talked about Jochebed yesterday. A woman that is positively ambitious. A caring mother. All the stress she went through. Exodus chapter 2, 1 to the end. She raised godly children. Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. They are godly children. Aaron the prophet. Moses also a prophet. Do you understand? Miriam prophetess. In that time, these are great children. Today you can also raise spiritual children that are placed in spiritual position in the church. Pastors, evangelists, prophets, and also in the society. They are great children. They are not going to prison and coming out of prison. They are lawyers. They are architects. They are doctors, they are accountants, they are all these people with computers and all the rest of that. You know, some of them are into nice things that parents can be proud of. May God give us such children.
Amen.
And if we have missed it somewhere, may God help us to raise our children.
Amen.
Say the mother who was willing to let her child leave than to see him dead. The woman appealed to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3 that I've explained to you, 26. We are looking at mothers that raise godly children. Not to murder the child, but to release him to the other woman. And believe that time will tell. That time will tell and the truth shall prevail. As a loving mother. The Shunammite woman, talking about motherhood. The story is in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 22 to 25. Hagar, the slave girl of Sarah, who was sent out, one parent family, who worked for her child while she was wandering in the wilderness. God had her. Her cry, even though she did a bad thing to find herself in that situation, but God still loved her. That's the love of God that I'm talking about. God heard her cry and revealed a well of water to quench her thirst and her child. Genesis 21:16-19. You get home, you read it. A caring mother. Single parents. I can teach on single parents here. She did a bad thing. She got pregnant. Okay. But God still had her cry when she called. So don't think you are left out. if you are a single parent. Hannah, who willingly offered her son Samuel to the Lord. 1 Samuel 1:27 to 28. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who supported her son, Jesus, from the beginning to the end, even at the cross, Mary was there. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. I see that in Luke chapter 1. These are godly parents. And then to crown it all, the love of the Father to us, to the prodigal son. It is the love of the Father that has brought us together like this tonight. It's the love of the Father that made us like a church. If not, I wouldn't know you, but the love of the Father has brought us. So we have become brothers and sisters. We have become mothers and children. We have become fathers and children. Some of you can say, Mommy Oma, I'm ready to be that mother. Amen.
Amen.
As long as I'm raising you, then you are becoming godly. I want to raise godly children. Because when I get to heaven, God is going to ask me how I've raised you. Let none of us be condemned when we get there.
Amen.
A reference here, we can see faith and godliness in the role played by these mothers, especially in loving and assisting their children through their actions. There is a saying that godly mothers are, I want you to write this down, the nation's greatest treasure. Godly mothers. Saying that godly mothers are the Lord's best helpers. Because when God gives you that child, if you don't help them, he's saying that godly mothers are most blessed amongst women. May the Lord bless his word.
Amen.
So let us teach our children accordingly. As parents, mothers, single parents, know that God, Jehovah sees, Jehovah knows. He watches over us. He will neither leave us nor forsake us. So whatever we are going through when we are raising our children, we must not give them up. Even when they are disobedient, you must not give them up. Amen.
Amen.
You must continue to watch over them like God is watching over us. And we shall be blessed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I hand up to Apostle Williams.